And our telephone lines are open for you right now at 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. If you have questions for our retirement planning professionals, love to have you join us this week. Again, the station number, 608-321-1310. Telephone number for Claus Financial, their office right here in Madison, 608-442-5637. Don't forget, no charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Claus Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. Also, head on over to the website, ClausFinancial.com. If you haven't been there recently, check them out. That's Claus, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Great website to learn more about Claus Financial. Listen back to this and previous shows podcasts. Learn more about the separate divisions at Claus, the team, as well as sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. That all available to you at ClausFinancial.com. And joining us this morning are CJ Claus and Eric Schwartz. CJ, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, CJ. Eric, how have you been?
I've been doing great. Glad to see some temperatures above zero.
Yeah. It's always nice to have a solid whole number, a positive, a plus number, for sure. Speaking of positives and really good things, I know this time of year a lot of folks start thinking about gift giving and other things. We're going to talk about gift giving when it comes to adult children and other areas of that this morning with Eric and CJ here on Money in Motion 1310 WIB. Before we get rolling, though, on this week's conversation, another great feature of the show is the Claus Quiz Question of the Week, your chance to win a fantastic prize. This week, no exception. Our friends from Claus Financial have provided a $25 gift card to Cheesecake Factory, and we'll let you know how you can win that before the end of the program. A little tip, though, listen closely to the show, because most of the time the question and answer come up during the show. And before we get rolling on this week's topic and conversation, let's actually take a look back at last week's program and get the Claus Quiz Question of the Week question and answer from last week's show as well.
Yeah, so as always, thank you to everyone for listening. And our winner last week was Alex from Madison, so congratulations. Alex got the question correct, which was, what is the new standard deduction for single taxpayers in 2025? The choices were $10,000 or $15,000. And the answer is that in 2025 for single taxpayers and married individuals filing separately, the standard deduction rises to $15,000.
Fantastic. And it was a great show last week. And I know a lot of folks have questions as we get prepared for this year. And there's always great information up at ClausFinancial.com. That's Claus, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. So as we talk about, obviously, here on the program, saving for retirement, another area that comes up is adult children, specifically helping them out. What are some things that we need to be aware of when it comes to gifting options, CJ?
Yeah, so we're excited about this topic today because often inside of our meetings, there's confusion between the difference of a gift to a child or individual relative or in comparison to a gift to a charity or a charitable donation. And so we're going to talk about gifting today a little bit. And I guess first, let's define what is considered a gift. The IRS considers any transfer to an individual, either directly or indirectly, where full consideration, measured in money or money's worth, is not received in return. The general rule is that any gift is a taxable gift. Now, I'll just pause right there. A lot of times that final sentence, the general rule is that any gift is a taxable gift, freaks people out because they go, whoa, what do you mean by every gift is a taxable gift? Well, there's all these exceptions that make it so that that final statement rarely is actually impacting individuals. And so kind of stick with us here. So every year there's something called a gift tax exclusion amount, and this is for federal gift tax purposes. And that amount is currently $19,000 in 2025. That means that you can gift $19,000 per person to as many people as you want with no federal gift tax consequences. Now, if you split gifts with your spouse, that total is $38,000 per person. So think of this in terms of children, right? Hey, I want to give money to my children and I don't want to pay more taxes and I don't want them to pay any taxes on this cash that I have sitting in my savings account. How do I give it to them? Well, you could just use the gift tax exclusion amount of $19,000 per person, or if you're, you know, if you're married, you could do 19 times 19, 38,000 to each child. I mean, it's a lot of money, as you can imagine. And here's the key. If you stay under that gift tax limit amount for each gift to each of those children, you know, you could give away a lot of money without any tax repercussions. And then once those gifts are made, that money is removed from your taxable estate. And here's the other kind of cool thing. In 2025, the max you can give without any federal estate tax is $13,990,000 to as many individual, or I'm sorry, to beneficiaries, let's say. This is during or after life, or times two for a married couple, so $27,980,000. And again, you would pay no federal estate tax or gift tax. Now, here's the key. That $19,000 I was talking about earlier, those gifts do not apply towards reducing what is called your lifetime exemption amount. So lifetime exemption is that, call it, or I'm just going to round up, call it $14 million. So during or after life, you can give up to $14 million with no gift tax or federal estate tax. However, those $19,000 gifts all throughout your life don't count. It would only be the amounts that go over that. So imagine that I want to, instead of giving $19,000 to, say, one of my children, I want to give them $100,000. Well, the way that would work is I would take $100,000 minus $19,000 that doesn't count towards the lifetime exemption amount. I would then take that number, so call it, what is that, $81,000, and I would reduce that from my $14 million that I can give during my life. I say during or after my life. So you see my point. That final sentence that I read, which is the general rule is that any gift is a taxable gift, you kind of pause and you go, really? Because it sounds to me like there's a lot of ways for me to give money away without having to worry much about it. Let me add one other factor here. Mm-hmm. That $19,000 for every individual, you know, from you to any individual you want to per year without reducing your lifetime exemption amount, that is a really critical number to remember, because if you stay under that number, you don't have to fill out what's called a Form 709. Think of that Form 709, it's called a gift tax return, as the certificate, right? So let's say I can give away $14 million during or after life. Well, if I go over that $19,000, I have to start filling out that certificate, aka Form 709, that keeps track of how much I'm reducing my lifetime exemption amount. Now, final thought here on this kind of little section. Mm-hmm. Is that at the end of 2025, the federal estate and gift tax exemption amount is scheduled to sunset. Assuming Congress and the president take no action, this gift tax exemption could decrease to approximately $7 million per person. So it's about $14 million. It could decrease to seven. Now, I'll be frank with you. We have no idea whether or not this will change. Mm-hmm. There's people guessing that it will change under the Trump administration, but we really still do not know. So just be aware, lifetime amount you can give away is $14 million now. It could be down to $7 million as early as 2026.
Talking this morning with C.J. Kloss and Eric Schwartz, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Their website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. That's 442-5637. Don't forget, no charge for that initial get to know you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. What are some of the things then, CJ, that we do know?
Yeah, so just some things for people to be aware of here. There are, again, there's no taxes on the giver, and again, usually no taxes paid by the recipient. Now, I say usually, and people hate that word. They go, be definitive. Well, listen, if you gift stock, highly appreciated stock, to your child that you have not paid the capital gains tax on, well, if you gift them that, you're gifting them not only the value of the stock, but also the basis of the stock, aka you didn't pay tax, they're going to have to pay tax. So if you gift them that stock and then they go and sell it, they're going to pay the capital gains tax on it. But assuming you're giving cash of some sort, so money you've already paid tax on, so not retirement accounts, right? Because you can't gift money out of a retirement account, that's pre-tax. But let's say this is money in a checking, savings, you know, stock account that you've already paid tax on. Generally speaking, you as the giver will pay no tax and the recipient will pay no tax. Now, here's a key. One of the biggest questions we get. This is great. Well, then I'll give $19,000 to each of my children and then I'll deduct that on my taxes. No. We didn't say you get a deduction. They're not charities. So that's where the kind of the line in the sand comes in here. The good news is you don't have to pay any tax. They don't pay any tax upon receiving it, assuming it's cash. But it does not, it's not a gift to a charity, and therefore you cannot deduct that gift to your children. I mean, that would be great, wouldn't it, if we could just give money away to our children and take it off our own, you know, income for the year. That is not the way that it works. And so I already mentioned, as long as you are aware of that $19,000 limit and you try to avoid going over it to any one individual in a year, then you don't have to fill out that Form 709. And the beauty there is then you preserve your lifetime exemption amount. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, because when you die, everything you own, including any life insurance proceeds, goes towards that lifetime exemption amount. Hmm. So there is kind of this incentive to try to preserve that if you don't need to use it. Now, I'll admit to you, for ultra-wealthy families, they're actually not trying to preserve that. They're actually trying to do very large gifts to use up their lifetime exemption amount and then get large portions of their estate out into an irrevocable trust. But more to come on that later in our show today.
We'll get to that and so much more as we continue our conversation with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. Of course, they are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. The website, KlossFinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. So, Eric, let's talk then about if you give money to someone, do I have to pay a gift tax?
That's a great question, Sean. In most cases, as CJ was saying, there is no gift tax to be paid. However, if there is, you know, we just talked about a bunch of the ways of basically excluding gifts from your taxable income. But if there is a tax to be paid, the donor is generally responsible for paying that tax. There are some special arrangements where the receiver can pay the tax, but in most cases, it's going to be the donor. But I want to dig in here a little bit more on some of the exceptions and why we say, you know, generally there's not going to be any gift tax due on this. The first one and the one we talk about most often with our clients and CJ was just talking about here is the, any gifts that don't exceed that $19,000 per individual per year, that's your freebie, right? That's not even going to be considered when it comes to your lifetime credit or anything. So that 19,000 number is generally what people are focusing on when they're giving money, to those non-charitable organizations, regardless of how the parents feel about the kids. Another exclusion is going to be, tuition or any medical expenses that you pay for someone else. So I'm going to discuss more about this in a moment in terms of the rules around that, but tuition support, medical expenses that you pay off, those are not subject to the gift tax rules.
Fantastic. Oh, go ahead.
No problem. Gifts to your spouse. So the IRS allows you to gift as much as you would like to your spouse, assuming that they are a U.S. citizen. And finally, gifts to a political organization for its own use. Those are also not subject to any gift tax rules.
Really important. It's interesting that that the politicians would leave that little loophole there for you.
It really is.
Ironic. I'm talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, the website, KlossFinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. We'll continue our conversation with CJ and Eric and take your call next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. Getting charitable this week with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss. The website, you can learn more about Kloss Financial, the team, the separate divisions. Also, you can sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter and listen back to this and previous shows podcasts. All of that available to you at KlossFinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. And the telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. So, Eric, just before the break, we started talking about some of the areas where there would not be a gift tax. What are some of the other benefits, then, of giving gifts to families or other folks?
Yeah, I think in general, it's nice to give a gift and actually see the recipient enjoy it rather than waiting until you're no longer here. So we see a lot of people, once they've kind of gotten to a point where they feel comfortable that they have enough for themselves, they will begin gifting to their kids. And beyond that, if you're giving to children, for example, they probably have a greater need for that financial support when they're in their 30s or their 40s compared to when most folks pass away. So let's think about this. If people live into their 70s or maybe their 80s, their children are likely closing in on retirement when they pass away. And they've already had to do, you know, a lot of the what I'll call like financial hard work by that point. So are they going to be grateful for the gift? Obviously, yes. But will it be as impactful as it would have been when they were younger? Probably not. And, you know, so I think those are just a couple things we think about when we're thinking about gifting specifically to family. And regardless of who you decide to give to or when you decide to start gifting, it's really important to create a gifting strategy. So, like I said, once you have enough resources to take care of your needs during your lifetime, giving assets to your children or to charities, which we haven't talked too much about yet, it could be helpful from an estate planning perspective, and it can have a really, really large impact on the quality of life of your heirs, your favorite causes. And for yourself, a strategy for gifting can help you minimize your future estate taxes and really, really want to drive home the fact that if you're giving to family, giving to them earlier on generally is a lot more impactful than waiting until later. But earlier we were talking about the gift tax exclusion for education and medical expenses, and I mentioned that we were going to dig into that a little bit more because it's a little bit more complicated than the $19,000 rule. So one of the exceptions to the $19,000 annual gifting limit is that you can give an unlimited amount to your children for tuition or medical expenses. So education and retraining, that can be an excellent way to help your kids be more self-sufficient. And, you know, it has the potential to make them more employable or maybe even help them earn more in their current job. But two really important things to understand around the education and medical expense exception was that the money, it must be paid directly to the educational institution or the medical provider. It cannot go to the kids first. At that point, you're going to be subject to that $19,000 rule again. And then helping to pay off student loans would not count as an exception unless you were a co-signer on the loan. That's despite the fact that it originally came from tuition, obviously, but you must have been a co-signer on that loan in order to not have it count as a taxable gift. And the last thing I want to talk about in this section here is another great way to benefit your heirs is by giving them money that they can then contribute to their retirement accounts. Okay, so if you think about an individual retirement account, the annual contribution limit to that is currently $7,000 a year for those who are under 50. So you could give a gift to the kids with the expectation that it is then used to save for their future.
That's really, really good options and really, really good opportunities for folks. And, of course, something worth exploring. You can learn more online, klossfinancial.com. Telephone number 608-442-5637. So, CJ, earlier you kind of alluded to trusts, that we were going to get into them a little bit more. Let's talk about using trusts to make gifts. What do we need to know there?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about those trusts. I do want to make a quick comment on what Eric was just mentioning there on retirement accounts, because as Eric can attest, every once in a while we'll have somebody say, hey, I heard what you said on the air, and I want to make a contribution or set up a Roth IRA for my adult daughter and put $7,000 into it. And we go, you slightly misunderstood what we were saying there. So just to clarify, you can give money to your children. You can't be making contributions on their behalf without their awareness. Now, if you have a minor child, it's a little bit different. There's these things called custodial retirement accounts or custodial Roth IRAs. I was just helping a client set up one yesterday on Fidelity. But generally speaking, what Eric is saying here is like you can give it with the expectation of it going into a retirement account, which is, again, it can be a huge blessing to your children when they have cash to live off of so that those earnings that they receive from their employer can go into a retirement account. With that being said, yes. So your question about trust and what I alluded to earlier. So estate planning, it's not just about preparing for the future. It's also about taking strategic steps during your lifetime to benefit your loved ones. Using specialized trusts can help you pass on wealth efficiently, reduce taxes, and preserve the value of your estate. So here's a breakdown of three key points as it relates to trusts and kind of gifting and moving money to the next generation while being tax efficient. Item number one would be an irrevocable trust. This can shift growth to the next generation. So here would be a concept. Let's say that I've been blessed throughout life. I built maybe a small business. That small business has grown. I own a good portion of it. And suddenly I'm left in a position where I go, goodness gracious, my stock when I die is going to put me over some of these limitations on lifetime exemption amounts. And now, again, these are large amounts, right? But often people say, what the heck do I do? Because I've got these lifetime exemption amounts. I can only gift so much to my kids without using up my lifetime exemption. So how does this work, CJ? How could I? And not to mention, I've still got the business. This thing is still growing. It could be $50, $80, $100 million by the time I die. And then my family just has to get blown up with taxes? Well, no. One thing you can do if you're operating agreement allows for it, which you do have to start getting pretty specific here on working with lawyers and accountants, but is you could actually gift some of that stock into an irrevocable trust. Once it goes into the irrevocable trust, two things happen. You are using up some of your lifetime exemption amount, that, you know, $14 million we talked about, to put money into that trust. But let's say I put $10 million hypothetically of that highly appreciated, you know, stock into that irrevocable trust. Well, all the future appreciation on that is now outside of the estate. Hmm. It can still benefit my children. So it can still say the beneficiaries of this stock are my children. But the beauty is I have used some of my lifetime exemption. I've gotten that money into a trust, and then all the future appreciation of that stock is outside of the estate and it can't impact my lifetime exemption amount. Another concept might be, so stick with that idea of the highly appreciated stock. Well, what if my corporate governance doesn't allow for that, or I just don't want to put that much money into an irrevocable trust, or I should say that much stock? What are other options? Well, another option would be doing what's called an irrevocable life insurance trust, known as an ILIT, because we know our industry loves our acronyms. So ILITs, it's this idea of saying, hey, I'm going to keep all that stock inside of my estate, but I don't want my kids to get blown up on taxes when I die. What do I do? Well, you could buy a life insurance policy inside of an irrevocable life insurance trust. If you do it all appropriately, and by the way, you really need to work with a lawyer, accountant, and advisor on this. This is not something to try to do on your own, in my humble opinion. But if you do it all appropriately, that large life insurance policy, when you die, can come swooping into the estate without counting towards your federal estate tax exemption amount. Hmm. So it comes swooping in. And why does it come swooping in? To pay all the taxes, right? So it pays the taxes without increasing your taxes. So irrevocable life insurance trust can be a great way to pay final expenses, pay any taxes that would be due upon the estate without kind of forcing the beneficiaries to have to sell a bunch of your stock or to have to, you know, sell a bunch of land. Think of a farmer with a lot of land. So this can be another great estate planning tool. And then finally, there's these concepts of grantor retained annuity trust, known as GRATs. And I will just warn everybody, as much as I love talking about this, just a word to the wise, none of these strategies we're talking about should be something you jump on Google and say, I'm gonna do this tomorrow. Please don't. These are advanced financial planning strategies that often require, you know, expert legal advice, good accounting advice, good financial advisor feedback. So with that being said, though, the concept of a grantor retained annuity trust is that they're ideal for gifting assets that are likely to appreciate significantly in value. So a lot like the irrevocable trust. So this could be, again, privately held shares of a company, you know, hedge funds, private equity, stocks, real estate, interest in closely held business. And you transfer assets to the GRAT and retain the rights to receive an annuity, aka income, for a set period. When the trust term ends, any remaining assets pass to your beneficiaries free of federal gift tax. This allows you to lock in today's asset value while giving your loved ones the benefit of future growth while also getting some income along the way. So think of that original irrevocable trust concept I talked about at the beginning. That once it's out, you can't get it back. Whereas this grantor retained annuity trust, you still can't get the money back, but you can get an income stream off of it, which can be nice because at least you put the money in, you use part of your lifetime exemption, that money goes to your children estate tax free later on. But along the way, you're able to get an income stream to, you know, offset any income needs you have in retirement. So very advanced estate planning techniques. This is actually just the tip of the iceberg of various estate planning, advanced estate planning techniques. But these are a few that we see commonly used.
Really fascinating stuff this week as we talk with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. The website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And their telephone number, 442-5637. More of Money in Motion is next right here, 1310 WIBA. And the website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. Coming up a little later this segment, we'll do our Kloss quiz question of the week, so you want to hold on to that number for that as well. Talking this week about charitable giving, and Eric, what about incorporating charitable giving into our estate planning?
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about giving gifts to family members or other individuals in your life. But we wanted to touch on charitable giving here a little bit before the end of the show. And when it comes to charitable giving, there are more options than just writing a check to the charity. I know that's how most folks will do it, but there are some more, we'll say, advantageous options as well. So whether you're looking to give back to your community or just support a cause that you really love, there are some really impactful ways to do that. We're going to look at four of them here briefly. The first one is the simplest. Okay, so it's just an outright charitable gift. This is, you know, sending a check to the Salvation Army or whichever organization is important to you. You're giving cash directly to the charity, and provided that you are able to itemize your taxes, you can often get an income tax deduction for this. And you know, in the long run, it can also reduce your estate taxes. And, you know, really simple, win-win for the charity and for the individual. But the second one here is actually one we're seeing a lot more since the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act raised the standard deduction so high and made it less likely that folks will itemize their taxes. And that's a donor advised fund, or a DAF, as CJ says. We love the acronyms. But think of this as like your personal charitable giving account. So when you contribute dollars to this fund that you set up at, you know, a brokerage house or wherever it is, you get an immediate tax benefit. Okay. So let's say you put in a big chunk of money. Let's say you put in $20,000, you get an immediate $20,000 deduction, but you don't have to give all of that money right away to the charitable organizations. Okay. It gives you time to decide. It can be, you know, years before you actually give the money out of the account. Now, it's important to remember, even though you don't have to give all the dollars to the charitable organizations immediately, your contribution is irrevocable. Okay. The IRS gave you a deduction. They're not going to allow you to take it out later on. But these funds can remain in the account. They can be invested. They can grow tax-free, and you can have some flexibility and time in making your charitable giving decisions. And the really, really important part about this is it allows you to what we call bunch your gifts in 1 year so that you can get enough to deduct the, to use the itemized deductions and actually be able to deduct the contributions. And then, you know, in future years, you can give the dollars away having gotten that large tax benefit right up front. The last two that I want to talk about here are actually forms of irrevocable trusts, which CJ was just talking about in our last section here. The first one is a charitable lead trust. So this arrangement allows a charity to benefit first from the dollars. And basically, any income generated by the assets in the trust goes to a charity for a set period of time. After that, the remaining assets are passed to your beneficiaries, all while potentially lowering your estate tax burden. So it's a great way to support an organization that's important to you, but also leave a legacy for your heirs. And then the last one here is a charitable remainder trust. So this is the reverse of the charitable lead trust. Okay, so in this case, your beneficiaries are receiving income from the trust for a, you know, set period of time. And then any assets left over go to the charity at the end of the term. So you'll receive a charitable deduction up front. You'll reduce your estate taxes. And this approach allows you to support a cause while ensuring that your loved ones are still cared for that set period of time. Now, I know all of these strategies seem like, I don't know, people may hear them and say, gosh, that just seems so far away from me. I'm not going to think about that right now. But thinking about these strategies earlier, it gives you more control and flexibility in managing your legacy. So whether, you know, you're trying to protect your estate, maximize your growth, ensure liquidity, all of these are going to be more impactful if you actually think about them strategically and plan for them ahead of time. And make sure you speak to a professional to see how you can implement these to best benefit you.
A lot of great tools and a lot of great options. Just got to make sure that you're putting these things in place and putting that plan together. If you've got questions, don't forget, great website, ClossFinancial.com. Great resource. You can learn more about Kloss Financial, folks at Kloss Financial. You can learn about their separate divisions as well. That's all at ClossFinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. And you want to hold on to the telephone number now. It's time for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this in just a moment. I'll ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial Office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, you will win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to the Cheesecake Factory. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this. What amount can you gift per person in 2025 with no federal gift tax consequences? Is it $15,000 or $19,000? Telephone number 608-442-5637. First call, correct answer, will win that $25 gift card to the Cheesecake Factory. Don't forget as well, that's Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison. Again, the number 608-442-5637. CJ, Eric, always great chatting with both of you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Take care, guys. Dr. Marty Greer joins us next here on 1310 WIBA.